Flitwick's spell hit the suit of armor behind which Snape had taken shelter. With a clatter, it came to life. Snape struggled free of the crushing arms and sent it flying back toward his attackers. Harry and Luna had to dive sideways to avoid it as it smashed into the wall and shattered. When Harry looked up again, Snape was in full flight, McGonagall, Flitwick, and Sprout all thundering after him. He hurtled through a classroom door and, moments later, he heard McGonagall cry, "Coward! Coward!" "What's happened? What's happened?" asked Luna. Harry dragged her to her feet, and they raced along the corridor, trailing the invisibility cloak behind them into the deserted classroom where Professors McGonagall, Flitwick, and Sprout were standing at a smashed window. "He jumped," said Professor McGonagall as Harry and Luna ran into the room. "You mean he's dead?" Harry sprinted to the window, ignoring Flitwick's and Sprout's yells of shock at his sudden appearance. "No, he's not dead," said McGonagall bitterly. "Unlike Dumbledore, he was still carrying a wand, and he seems to have learned a few tricks from his master." With a tingle of horror, Harry saw in the distance a huge bat-like shape flying through the darkness toward the perimeter wall. There were heavy footfalls behind them, and a great deal of puffing. Slughorn had just caught up. "Harry!" he panted, massaging his immense chest beneath his emerald-green silk pyjamas.
"My dear boy, what a surprise, Minerva. Do please explain. Severus, what?"
"Our headmaster is taking a short break," said Professor McGonagall, pointing at the Snape-shaped hole in the window. "Professor!" Harry shouted, his hands at his forehead. He could see the in theory filled lake sliding beneath him, and he felt the ghostly green boat bump into the underground shore, and Voldemort leapt from it with murder in his heart. "Professor, we've got to barricade the school. He's coming now."
"Very well. He who must not be named is coming," she told the other teachers.
Sprout and Flitwick gasped. Slughorn let out a low groan.
"Potter has work to do in the castle on Dumbledore's orders. We need to put in place every protection of which we are capable while Potter does what he needs to do.
You realize, of course, that nothing we do will be able to keep out you-know-who indefinitely,"
squeaked Flitwick.
"But we can hold him up," said Professor Sprout.
"Thank you, Pomona," said Professor McGonagall,
and between the two witches there passed a look of grim understanding.
"I suggest we establish basic protection around the place, then gather our students and meet in the Great Hall. Most must be evacuated, though if any of those who are over age wish to stay and fight, I think they ought to be given the chance."
"Agreed," said Professor Sprout, already hurrying toward the door. "I shall meet you in the Great Hall in 20 minutes with my house."
And as she jogged out of sight, they could hear her muttering,
"Tentacular. Devil's snare, and snargle of pods. Yes, I'd like to see the Death Eaters fighting those." "I can act from here," said Flitwick,
and although he could barely see out of it, he pointed his wand through the smashed window and started muttering incantations of great complexity. Harry heard a weird rushing noise, as though Flitwick had unleashed the power of the wind into the grounds. "Professor," Harry said, approaching the little charms master, "Professor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is important. Have you got any idea where the Diadem of Ravenclaw is?"
"Protego horribilis! The Diadem of Ravenclaw?" squeaked Flitwick. "A little extra wisdom never goes amiss, Potter, but I hardly think it would be much use in this situation."
"I only meant, do you know where it is? Have you ever seen it?"
"Seen it? Nobody has seen it in living memory. Long since lost, boy."
Harry felt a mixture of desperate disappointment and panic. What, then, was the Horcrux?
"We shall meet you and your Ravenclaws in the Great Hall, Phileas," said Professor McGonagall, beckoning to Harry and Luna to follow her.
They had just reached the door when Slughorn rumbled into speech.
"My word!"
he puffed, pale and sweaty, his walrus moustache a-quiver.
"What's a to-do? I'm not at all sure whether this is wise, Minerva. He is bound to find a way in, you know, and anyone who has tried to delay him will be in most grievous peril."